I was getting closer to you.
The whole time. By the end of the show, our face will just be next to each other. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Tiffany and I give our all to this podcast by curating information, researching platforms, and creating a show with the best up-to-date information we can. We have a vested interest in the growth and health of your business and hope you feel the same way about us. Would you like to produce a show? Of course you would. All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com to express your interest, and we will share with you all of the marketing opportunities you will get in exchange. Please support us so that we can continue supporting you. And with that, we welcome you to our show, The Business Behind Small Business. Whether you're selling or staying, we're here to remind you that just because you own a business doesn't mean you are a business owner. It might not make sense now, but it will. We are your hosts, Savannah Stone and
Tiffany Kato,
sharing the more finite details of entrepreneurship, revealing the dots between startup and success. No one gets to a million without getting a little dirty. And there's a lot of business behind small business, so let's get to it. Since 2020, it's been a roller coaster of bills and laws and acts and restrictions and regulations for new and established businesses. It's kind of difficult to keep up with all of them. Like, really, it's been hard. I feel like at one point, especially in 2020 and 21, it was like an everyday occurrence. We're going to do this. Now we're not going to do this. We're going to do this. Now we're not doing that. We're going to do this instead. I mean, it was just back and forth.
I think it kicked up since 2017, that's for sure.
For sure. So this year, the most important act to go into effect is the CTA, which stands for Corporate Transparency Act.
Yeah, if you haven't heard about it by now, you'll hear about it all this year.
Oh, for sure. So what does this mean for your small business? Well, we're going to talk about it and dispel as best as we can what it all means. But before we begin, please note our disclaimer. This is available in both our show notes and on our website and should be referred to before and or after this podcast.
Okay, so the CTA is actually a law that went into effect.
Yes.
Funny enough that the fact that it affects so many people that it didn't really became a thing. I think I didn't hear about it until maybe like December of last year, November of last year, and really only like the hardcore, I feel like, accounting podcast, because apparently that's what I listen to.
Right.
I talked about it. So here we go. But it's real now. So the whole idea of the CTA is to fight against money laundering, financial frauds, you know, other things that has to do with money, basically. And it's called the Corporate Transparency Act because it's trying to instill more transparency of corporate entities, especially those like you probably heard about this in like, you know, shows like Succession and stuff like that, where you have all these shell companies
yes.
to basically hide, like, you know, business you don't want other people to see that you're doing and moving around money and transferring and all that stuff. This is what this act is supposed to stop.
I think it was also mentioned in the first episode of Ozarks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shell companies. You hear about it all the time. Yeah. Oh, I tried to trace so-and-so money back to the shell company and now it's a dead end. So. Yeah. Essentially, this law is trying to put a stop to that, because as you would imagine, in this day and age, there's a lot of financial crime and it's increasing complexity because it's not just domestic anymore. It's all global and we're all interconnected. So it just makes it that much harder. So the whole idea about the act is that companies, certain companies, which we'll go through what kind of company it is. And just to be clear, the reason why we're talking about this is because that company is probably you.
Yeah. It affects most small businesses.
Yes, exactly. So the whole idea about the act is that as if you are, quote, deemed a beneficial owner.
Mm-hmm.
of the business, which again, we will break down and
yes.
define a little bit later on, you have to report a lot of your information to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, also known as FinCEN,
mm-hmm.
which is a part of the U.S. Department of Treasury.
Which I'm going to go with a little deeper into a little later.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, FinCEN's been around for some time, which you'll kind of actually dive into, but it's been around since like the 1990s. So this is not a new thing, but like I said, I think it's kicked up because of everything that the world is like today.
Yes.
And like I said, the reason we're talking about this is that this act actually doesn't apply to big companies with big operation. It's actually pointed at smaller privately held entities, including LLCs, which is commonly used for small business. So publicly traded companies, financial service providers, banks and stuff like that are actually exempt.
Now,
Nonprofits are also exempt.
And would you agree with me that the reason why that is because publicly traded companies...
Assuming the fact they're already heavily regulated.
Yeah. They're already heavily... Well, yes. Assuming the fact that they're already heavily... Which they probably are heavily regulated. They are already reporting information very similar to this.
And publicly.
Publicly.
Yeah.
So, and like those larger nonprofits as well, or any nonprofit, it already has to... present all of this kind of information publicly. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why it's not like you're trying to get the small business or the middle, you know, the middle class. That's not the point. The point is oftentimes illegal activity happens on a small business level more so than you really can't get away with as much if you are a larger corporation.
Because there's also more scrutiny.
There's more scrutiny. Like, there's also a lot more players involved.
Yeah, you have to be audited.
You have to be audited. There's oftentimes a board involved. There's oftentimes, you know, there's just a lot more regulations and restrictions, but there aren't as many, if any, regulations or restrictions on smaller companies, which is why oftentimes
it can fly underneath the radar.
Exactly. There's a lot more loopholes. This is supposed to close those loopholes.
Yes. Now, that being said, of course, a few bad actors, I feel like, are ruining it for the rest of us, because there's plenty of very honest business owners out there. Now, the crux of this is that sole proprietors are also exempt from this act, which, I mean, to be quite honest, for legal protections and tax purposes, it's better that you have some kind of entity or incorporated.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like it's a funny catch 22 at this point.
Well, and if you're a sole proprietor and you're trying to do illegal illicit activity, you're going to get caught by the IRS on your personal side. So
yeah. So that's the reason why it doesn't quite apply to sole proprietors, but mostly to like LLCs, S-Corps, C-Corps. Fun, right? So, there's a little bit about the timeline, cause I always like to know where these things come about. Mm-hmm. So, even before 2019, there was already talk about trying to enhance corporate transparency. So this is not a first time this kind of came out of nowhere kind of topic. It's been talked about for years about the fact and financial crimes, obviously fraud and stuff like that. This is not anything new. Shell companies, you know, doing illicit like activities, not anything new. It's happened for a very long time.
Oh gosh, it goes all the way back to the mob era of the early 1900s.
Right. Yes.
Maybe further than that, I wouldn't know, but... yes, it's been going on for a very long time.
And then in 2019, there was a transparency proposal that basically set the stage for the Corporate Transparency Act. But it wasn't until 2020 that Congress actually passed the Corporate Transparency Act as part of a National Defense Authorization Act for 2021. And this was a huge step up in essentially helping this agency that has been... whose sole purpose is to basically fight financial crimes, but, you know, have been doing it maybe with one arm, you know, tied behind their back, right? Mm-hmm. So then in January 1st of 2021, Congress actually overrode President Trump's veto. And this was when they officially enacted the Corporate Transparency Act into law. Now, November 30th of 2023, which was just last year, an amendment actually extended certain filing deadlines under the Corporate Transparency Act. So I think like we always do with laws that come in place, we put the law in place and then realize people need more time to actually get with it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because nobody has heard about it.
Right. So it's not like we're all getting notifications.
There was no notification about this. I think, I mean, that's why I'm also kind of shocked how far back this goes, because I don't recall hearing too much about this at all. Right. So then, so end of last year is when the filing deadlines extended, and these deadlines are important, and this is what we're also going to talk about. So you'll know these deadlines by the time we're done, but kind of at a high level, January 1st, 2024, which just passed, by the way, the Corporate Transparency Act is in full effect. All the new reporting requirements are put out there and businesses have to comply. And January 1st, 2025, which is basically a year from now, the deadline for existing businesses that formed before January 1st, 2024 are due to actually file their Corporate Transparency Act reporting requirements. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you already have a business before the start of this year in 2024, you have basically a year to kind of get it together, right? And get that filed, right? And then not only that, going forward, I mean, I feel like this is going to be a part of normal like new company formation now is you basically have to file this. And then if things change, which again, we'll go through the details of what changes in your company as you've grown, you also need to maintain this reporting. So it's not that it's a once and done. It seems like if you're going to have an ongoing business, it's something that you'll just have to keep in mind. And again, this becomes a regular part of doing business in America.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Of course, the information you provide, which again has some personal, quite a bit of personal information for the beneficial owner, is supposedly not publicly accessible. But you do need to know that law enforcement agencies can request to see this information should certain circumstances come up, or they have to do some kind of due diligence from some kind of financial institute that you may be banking up. Non-compliance. So if you decide, that you don't want to do this, it can result in fines for up to $10,000. I think it's like, what, $500 a day?
Yep.
Right? I think it was $500 a day. And you can actually go to prison for this. So they are not fooling around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the great thing is, thank goodness, you can file all this online. So this is not a paper-based, let's mail it in. Everything is online. Mm-hmm. I checked out the website for FinCEN to file all this information. It's actually pretty well put together. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of information on there. They're there to help you out. They even have a hotline for you to call with any information. So they're kind of ready and waiting. But of course, guess what people are going to do is they're going to wait till December 2024 to do any of this. So I bet those hotlines will be a little backed up as we get closer to the end of the year. So maybe you want to get on it if you don't want to be standing in, you know, on the phone with the government agency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you imagine, this act is a little controversial, of course. Yeah. Anytime when you talk about having personal information with the U.S. government, there are people who like it and people who do not. So, of course, you know, the great thing about the act is, yes, there is a lot of financial crimes these days. There's a lot white collar. There's a lot financial just devious acts that happen these days, especially over the internet and everything like that. So a lot of people, of course, will support this. It's like, great, crack down on the illegal activities. Now, of course, those who don't support it are saying that, you know, again, personal data in the hands of the government, not a great thing. Also, cost to the small business owners in time and risk. Let's say if you choose to do it yourself, or the hard cost if you choose to have somebody help you with it, because somebody's got to pay for that time to get help. So, you know, think about it. If you're like a home-based business or you're one person online e-commerce business, but you're incorporated in any way, whether it's an LLC or some kind of corporation, you have to file this on time and you have to file it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which again, I kind of feel like it should just get chalked up as part of the cost of doing business.
Yes, I agree with that. I think this is just, it's going to be a regular thing in about a year or two time where if you incorporate, this is part of forming your company with the state, the federal, you have one extra agency now that you have to report to. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing is, I didn't know this, but I mean, internationally, there's a lot of like anti-money laundering standards.
Yes.
And it seems like this actually brings U.S. up to the international.
Yes.
So maybe we were a little bit behind all this time and, you know, just to our own detriment, maybe.
Yeah. And for the information that they require, it also, I feel, makes it easier for the FBI or for FinCEN to be able to locate who's doing the illegal activity.
Yeah.
Excuse me, and how? Because they didn't have this information before and they'd have to seek it out. And it would take forever to catch someone in the act of doing something.
Yeah, because these shell corporations could be pretty opaque.
Oh, like, yeah.
It could be a big dead end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they're set up to do, right?
Yes.
To avoid this stuff. So this act basically cuts through all that.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of whether or not it's good or bad or whatnot, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something about
it. Doesn't matter what you think.
Exactly. So let's talk about how we go about this.
Mm-hmm. So we took a lot of time to really dive into the CTA and what it means to all businesses, how to unpack the process so that we can talk through it and hopefully make it all make sense. So we've established that this is a pretty good law, I think. So good job, Congress.
Well, you can decide for yourself.
I mean, yes.
Regardless, like I said, it's here. So whether you like it or not, we're all stuck with it.
It is what it is. Yes. But you know what? As Tiffany said, it's going to help prevent shell corporations, illegal businesses, money laundering, basically make it super hard for criminals to hide money. I don't see the downside to that. In this Transparency Act, you must identify who the beneficial owner is of your company. Is it you or is it someone else?
And beneficial owner is defined. It's a defined term. It's not who gets the cheese in the company.
Exactly. So, you know, so let's talk about what that means. According to the CTA, a beneficial owner, and you might see also BOI, it's the beneficial owner. So either directly or indirectly has a large stake or ownership in a company. So if you're the only person, then that's you. You're the beneficial owner of the company. If it's you and a partner, who has a larger stake? If it's 50-50, then I guess it's the both of you. This person will be influential on the company's operations. So if it is 50-50, but one person has more onus on the company's operations, on the decisions, and will own at least 25% of the company or the company's shares or something similar when it comes to controlling the company's equity. So if you do have a 50-50% 50-50 ownership with someone, that's where you have to start delineating it. Figure out like who does what and why and how important it is to the company as a whole. So the reportings are largely going to depend on when the business was established. So if the business was registered or established after January 1st of this year, then you or the beneficial owner will have to provide names, addresses, birthdays, ID numbers such as a license or a passport number, and the jurisdiction of this number. So if you did a license number, then what state is it from? If you did a passport, then what country is it from? If the business was established or registered before January 1st of this year, then you don't have to provide that information. All companies, however, have to provide their company's legal name. If your company's trademarked, then the trademark. The current U.S. address, which could either be the address of the main business site, or for foreign-based companies, then where they're operating in the U.S. You'll also need to provide your taxpayer identification number and specify the jurisdiction where your company was formed or registered. Because every business has a business license, right? Like you form your business somewhere. So what county is it in? What state is it in? What city is it in? And then we're also going to be linking the source to this information in the show notes. But although an annual reporting requirement has not been set yet, know that that's coming. There are some follow-up requirements that have not been important in the past, and the timeline for some of these reportings can sometimes be as short as 30 days. It just sounds short. You will have to update the filing of the beneficial owner. So, for example, if you are selling your business to someone, or maybe your son or daughter is taking over the business, you are no longer the beneficial owner. Now they are the beneficial owner. So that you have to report. It, to me, is no different than when you sell a car. Then you have to tell your titles. You have to change the so to me, a lot of what I was researching sounded a lot like changing ownership of a vehicle. It really did sound a lot like a title to me.
Well, to be quite honest, if you're changing ownership of business, you kind of need to file this with your state anyways. So it's not like you're coming up with something brand new. Yes. I guess you never really had to file it on the federal level. Mm-hmm. I don't know about other states. The state of Virginia, you do, but other states may be a little bit more lax, but this makes you do it on the federal level.
And to be honest, there are some states that are more laxed and have much larger loopholes, which is why you see some people starting businesses in certain other states, which I have seen with some clients, some shady clients that are not clients anymore, where they started a business that was nowhere near the kind of thing that they do in a state that is nowhere near where they live.
So clients who shall not be named and states which we will not list.
Correct.
But you probably heard of them though. I mean, I don't think it's like, I guess loophole is a good word for it, but it's basically they're more corporate friendly states.
Correct.
So they're there to really protect the company.
Yes.
And so there's a little bit less disclosure requirements or ways for people to get that information. That's what it is. You have to disclose it to the state. The state actually knows everything.
Oh, yeah. And also
just who can have access to that information has changed.
Right. Yeah. So it's not just about the selling as well. So if you get married or if you get divorced, like your last name changes, then you have to, oh my God, kittens.
Okay. So
my whole like Cinderella crew is here, and my cat has decided that this is her new scratching post, and it's driving me nuts.
Kaylin, we have attracted our audience here.
Yes, we do. So you might see like the tail or the nose of my pups while my other one just lays there like he's dead. I have to poke him sometimes to make this.
So this is like a weird guest appearance.
Yeah.
So
it is what it's
new scratching post as well.
I know. So if you want to know what my work day looks like, this is it.
So I think that's what it is. Sometimes like these states, they really help kind of ensure that information that's reported to them can't be accessed by others.
Yeah.
And so now we're saying, hey, on a federal level, the federal agencies wants to know what this information is.
Exactly.
So now they're required to report it directly.
Yes. If you change your address, if you obtain a new driver's license, if you change operationally, if there are operational changes, or if there's a new delegation of authority, let's say that let's say it's a situation of where you are now giving the company to your son or daughter, that you are taking on more of a mentorship, a consultant role. Well, now your son or daughter is the beneficial owner of this company. You are no longer holding more than 25% stake. You are just there, whatever it is. And even if you were to sell the business, oftentimes in a sale, one of the requirements that will happen in a sale is that you work for the company as a consultant for a year or something like that. Like sometimes that
a buyout
situation. Yeah. So in that case, again, you have to change it to the new beneficial ownership. It's not you anymore now. It's this other company or entity or person.
Which, by the way, you have to do all that anyways.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're coming up with new info. Now you just have to report it on a different platform.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is a good point to make that there, yes, the CTA is a new thing, but all it is to me is that same thing that you were doing before, but just now.
Add an extra platform that you have to go report it on.
Yes. And you will have to update your filings if you've changed delegation of duties or made any changes in your operation, even if the person themselves own no part of the business. So I guess that could be like a controller, maybe, or if you've hired a CFO. No, maybe not that. Maybe more of a control. Maybe it would be someone who's like making the decisions, but they own no stake in the company. You have to report that as well. They want to know who is controlling the decision-making of your business at all times. And that is because if any illicit or illegal things happen, they know who the point of contact is or whom you said is the point of contact.
They want somebody's neck.
Yes. They want to know who's going to go to hang.
Whose house they're going to show up at.
Exactly. So that's what it boils down to, is they want to know who they're going to pitchfork. And
I believe this happens at every level too. So if you have a company that is owned by another company, it just keeps going. Like it's not that they essentially want to find a person of responsibility in all these, nameless shell corporations.
Yeah.
So,
and then it again goes back to, illicit activity has been happening, illegal activity has been happening before, it would take them forever to figure it out. We've all watched NCIS. We all know how this goes. Like, it takes them forever to figure it out. Well, they want to be able to figure it out before the end of the show credits. So
This is all the reason why it's here now. Yeah. Our listeners are probably very honest working people for businesses. It probably has nothing. I mean, obviously, you're not holding up like a whole bunch of shell corporations.
No. But what you're doing is you are supporting. By contributing the information, you are making it even harder for people to do illegal things. And to be honest, I really, again, do not see the negative to this, because in 5 years, it will be nearly impossible to do something to be able to launder money as easily as it was, as maybe an illegal person was able to do it 6 years ago.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Like, you're just making it harder for the criminals. So,
I mean, again, you're already disclosing this information. It's not like you're not.
Okay.
That's the thing. Already disclosing.
Okay. So, Tiffany had already alluded to this, that if you're a brand new business, or rather, if you are not a brand new business, meaning you started your company prior to January 1st of this year, you have 1 year to file. If you did start your business just in the last week or so, I don't know where we are in the month, in the last week or so, you have 90 days.
We're still in January.
Yeah, we're still in January. You have 90 days. Yeah. To provide this information.
And that's why we're doing this episode early in the year. So for anybody who's new and decided this is the year they're going to form their corporation, just don't forget to do this.
You have 90 days to file. And now, fun fact, if you start your business January 1st of 2025. Now, let's say you are a listener who has been listening to us in order to create your new business, and your intention is to start that new business January 1st of next year. You will have 30 days. And everyone, you know, moving forward from that will have 30 days. Yes. So that is not a whole lot of time to submit your first report to FinCEN. Okay, so two types of reporting companies will be required to submit BOI reports, beneficial owner, domestic reporting companies, including LLCs, corporations, that's S-Corps and C-Corps, and other entities formed through filing with a Secretary of State or a comparable office in the U.S., because not everybody goes through the Secretary of State, not every state requires that, foreign reporting companies that are registered to conduct business in the U.S., through filing with a Secretary of State or equivalent office, depending on the state you're in. Businesses will not incur a fee for submitting the reports. That's important to know. Electronic forms will be available on FinCEN's website. And again, the link to this source will be posted below. The new filing requirement is confusing, believe me. It is cut and dry, but it's not cut and dry if your business is not cut and dry. In the ways in which I've used examples of before with the 50-50 and like all of that stuff. I don't think it's wise to try to take this on your own if your company has nuances. Consult your accountant, your CPA, or your attorney when filing your initial and updated reports to ensure they're being done to FinCEN standards. I would say, though, that if your company is pretty cut and dry, there's only one owner, there's only one person making all of the decisions, I think it would be pretty simple to do, but I would still get someone who is involved in your...
I think if you're detail-oriented enough, you probably can take a crack at it. They put a lot of information online.
For sure.
They are trying, like on a FinCEN website, they are trying to make this as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Right? And then also the only caveat I would say to lawyers and accountants is, let's be honest, it's new to them too.
Yeah.
So it's probably just good to have an extra set of eyes.
Yeah.
But, you know, if your business is... I just started. I'm by myself. I have no own. Like I have no. Like I'm almost pre-revenue at that point. It probably won't be that complicated for you.
Yeah.
So you can give it a go. But again, you know, read the information they have. It's all it's resources there, and use that hotline to make sure.
According to MSBA.org, there are some issues in the law that could require an interpretation of certain facts to determine who is a beneficial owner that must be included in the filings. If you find yourself in this situation, then consult with your attorney to help you decide how your set of facts fits within the law. If your company's pretty cut and dry, like I said, you may opt to have your accountant or tax preparer help you with the filing. However, just know that you might not be able to find someone who will offer you the service. Reason being, errors and omission policies don't cover the service, at least not as of the airing of the show as of right now.
And this is what we're talking about, how this has been circulating for a while and nobody has known about it.
Right. So
everything is catching up.
Yeah. So maybe it will be, I mean, not maybe, but I'm sure it's going to become a part, but right now it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you may want to go to someone whom you truly trust is legitimate and stands behind their work, because in the end, if you are relying on someone else to do this for you, then they need to be really sure on all the information that they're providing.
And ultimately at the end of the day, it comes back to you. Like you need to know what's going on, right? So like, to be quite honest, the fact that the error omissions insurance don't cover this, to be quite honest, a lot of professionals are probably not going to take responsibility,
right?
So they'll be there and they may give you guidance and free, you know, advice, but not any kind of,
like I'll do it for you kind of thing.
Exactly. Because if their insurance doesn't cover it, the risk is too big on this unknown. But regardless, just like the fact that you signed up for your tax return and you have a tax preparer, you need to know enough. And you need to go figure this out. And ultimately the responsibility is you, because you're the one being fined and you're the one to go to jail.
Right.
So
right. So I will say that when it comes to taxes, if your CPA received incorrect information and filed incorrect information, then your CPA is not the one that gets in trouble. You're the one that gets in trouble. But with the CTA, with the Corporate Transparency Act, whoever it is that enters that information in, so this is what we're saying. That's why I'm breaking it down into layman terms. So if your CPA is the one that you trusted to put that information in, your CPA is the one that's going to end up getting in trouble, not you. Because it's the person who files the information is seen as the POC, the point of contact.
I think it's actually explicit on the form.
It is.
Who's the one filing, right? And
yeah.
Because of that, that's what I'm saying, is I wouldn't be surprised if a professional isn't willing to sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Because honestly, they don't have insurance to cover something that seems like a moving target at this moment.
Yes.
Even though it's not that much of a moving target, but you know, they're not going to jeopardize their entire business for this one report.
It's cutting a wire on a bomb. Who's doing it?
So just don't be surprised, but you know, level up your own knowledge.
Yes.
You know, take responsibility for it, because ultimately it comes back to you.
Yes.
So
there are a few sources that I used for mining some information, and I thought that they had a lot more to say than what we could put into this show. So those links will also be in our show notes. I really liked, there's so much to take in. I really, really, really highly suggest that you take the time to educate yourself, as Tiffany said.
Yeah, and of course, we'll link in the FinCEN website, because they have good stuff on there too. And then I found a whole bunch of stuff off score.org's website. And again, you know, they're all trying to
help the U.S. Chamber.
Right. They're all trying to break it down as easy for you as possible.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that even at the source, and FinCEN has pretty good stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, definitely.
Yeah.
Which those are also going to, well, we'll talk about that. We are going to talk about that. Okay, so now, I don't know. Are we going to move on to a raw? I don't know that there's a raw truth. We have no experience in this.
Nobody has experience. But I think we did go over the raw truth. Mm-hmm. It's the fact, like, don't be surprised. You're not going to find a lot of professional help that's willing to take the responsibility for this just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, everything is catching up to it.
Yes.
So, and unfortunately, you may not be able to wait past the 90 days if you're forming a corporation now or a company now. So just do it. And like we were saying too, you kind of have to dig up a lot of this info anyways to register with your state to do business in the state.
Yeah.
So this should not be a surprise.
Right.
Like the stuff they're asking shouldn't be something that you feel like you go out of your way to go find.
Yeah, yeah.
You should already have this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're just going to skip over the raw truth because we really don't have it. We're going to go straight to a commercial break. For those of you who are listening to us, I just covered my face, and now I'm back. All right. Wouldn't it be great to hear the sound of us, most of me, promoting your business?
She has a better voice. Let's just be honest here.
Got a face for a radio. Your business for you right here on our show? Yes, you could have that. And more by producing a show. Shows. Picking. You could produce a little if you'd like. All you have to do is email us at thebusinessbehindsmallbusiness@gmail.com. Express your interest, and we will share with you what you'll receive. You'll have the opportunity to have your name and the name of your business mentioned multiple times during our show, have your company logo on our social media, along with details on how to get in touch with you and other marketing opportunities as well. I mean, if you have one of these lovely posters, then we could always put one of your, or if you, there's like a fat head or something, I can pretend to be you maybe.
Or we could just put a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, if there's cardboard
cutout.
Please support us so that we can continue supporting you. So now we are going to move on to a famous example, which in each episode, we like to connect a famous example to our discussion to help you relate our talking points on a more global and well-recognized scale, revealing the dots between the living room startup and the success story on the cover of Forbes. Sometimes we use exact examples of either famous persons or successful business owners of today or in history. And then sometimes we use examples of people who inspire us and have inspired today's discussion.
Funny enough, when I was working on this, my famous example is your famous example. I thought about the same thing. I was like, geez, Vincent must have a lot of great stories about crimes they busted. And of course, it was got there first. So I'm just going to let her roll with it.
I'll just keep talking. Okay, so I thought I would share with you what FinCEN is and how it came to be. So FinCEN is the U.S. Department of Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. They are headquartered just up the street, a hoot and a holler from here in Vienna, Virginia. FinCEN was established by the Order of the Secretary of Treasury in 1990. So yeah, it goes back a long ways. And in 1994, which was 30 years ago now.
Stop it. Don't do the math.
Can't even.
Just don't do the math.
Its mission was, you know, sidebar. I saw this thing that said if Back to the Future were to take place today, he would go back to 1994. And I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, we already passed the date that he went to the future.
Right?
Oh, I still don't see a hoverboard around. So they were very optimistic about the future.
And you know what's worse is that if he went back to 1994, I would be older than his parents were. Its mission was broadened to include regulatory responsibilities and the Treasury Department's precursor of FinCEN, which was the Office of Financial Enforcement, was then merged with FinCEN. So between 90 and 94, there were two different departments, and they just merged the two into one so that they could start broadening what its capabilities were. In 1995, FinCEN began to employ an artificial intelligence system. And in 2002, after Title III of the Patriot Act was passed, FinCEN became an official bureau in the Department of Treasury.
Did you say 1995 they had an AI system?
Yeah.
That must have been kind of rudimentary, but okay.
It actually, funny enough, I know someone who works for the search engine.
The search engine of what?
This artificial intelligence system.
Well, I mean, I kind of figured they needed some kind of, because there's a lot of banking transactions. They're probably sitting there watching and monitoring to see if anything spikes up, but my gosh.
Well, the higher ups, like in the White House and like all the higher ups, they use their own specific search engine, which is powered by FinCEN.
Huh. Good to know.
Okay. So FinCEN generates four reports: a suspicious activity report, a currency transaction report, designation of exempt persons, and registered money service businesses.
They couldn't make an acronym for that.
I mean, shocking. Okay, so we're here talking them all up. But you know what? They were part of a scandal. Of course they were. Because, you know, government. FinCEN has been part of what is known as the FinCEN Files. Which took place in 2020. The FinCEN files include files that banks sent to U.S. authorities for 17 years between 2000 and 2017. Documents show five global banks, and all five banks we're familiar with. J.P. Morgan Chase, Standard Chartered, Deutsche, New York Mellon, they all moved.
HSBC.
HSBC, sorry, not HSBC. They moved illicit cash for criminal networks. The document also depicts a financial system that is full of crime and the proceeds. It's a playground for money launderers, Ponzi schemers, and other financial criminals. But what made it controversial? Here's the best part. The leaked documents showed that although both FinCEN and the banks that filed SARs knew about billions of dollars in dirty money being moved, they both didn't do much about it. Both of them were like, eh, it's okay. Just try to convince me that oligarchs don't rule the world. Speaking of oligarchs, another fun fact, the United States has more oligarchs within this country than in the entire world. That includes Russia. Oh, they have five, we have seven. Isn't that great? So great. Anyway.
Moving on.
I'm not going to name any names. Okay. So there's a saying that goes, put your money where your mouth is. It sounds to me like oligarchs do that every day. And we're going to drill down a bit further to connect you with what we discussed at a granular level to tangible services that you could take to get you to that next level and hopefully get you filed with the CTA.
Well, I mean, we've already kind of mentioned a lot of these resources. We'll all link it down in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But for me, I particularly like FinCEN itself. They had like three pretty easy to use resources and guide. I mean, they're trying to break this down as simply as possible. And then score.org was actually incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. So we're going to link that down below. And then I think you had a few, right?
I have sources and links that help you better understand the CTA. How to file. There's more information about CTA that we did not talk about today, which, I mean, just goes a little bit more in detail. I don't think, I think we covered all the general things that you need to know. And most of my links are from FinCEN, so that you're getting it straight from the source. So please join us for our next episode, where we're going to talk about good habits to prepare for tax time 2025. I get it. It's 24. You haven't even gotten through this year yet, but you know, you're going to find that there are some things you're just not going to be prepared for this year, but we want to talk to you about all the ways in which you can be prepared, and we're going to have
panic and
not panic.
2024.
Exactly.
Yes.
We will have a guest. Her name is Helene Weissman. She is a CPA with PB Mayers. We're going to do some myth busting as well, because we love myth busting.
Myth busting what's out in social about taxes. All those great tax tips you hear.
Absolutely. So we're going to do some myth busting. We're going to review. Maybe we'll do another generalized review of CTA. I'm not sure. But mostly we want to make sure that you're prepared for taxes at each level of where your business may be. So please show us support by following us on your preferred podcast platform, social media, and YouTube. We'd love for you to also share our episodes. All of our links are posted below. And until next time, mind your business behind your business. Because all great successes start small. Bye.